السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and to put the love in our hearts for the beneficial knowledge conveyed to us by our ulama. And inshallah, respected brothers, we began last time a very important subject, which was regarding two people whom were in their graves. And the Prophet ﷺ, he passed by their graves and he said, these two people are being punished for something that isn't big. Rather, it is something big. He passed by the graves and he found two people that were just recently buried, and he said, these two people are being punished in their graves for something which is not big, rather it is big. That was the text of the hadith. And here, when we spoke about last time, the first person in the grave, if you remember, do you remember why he was being punished? The first one that we spoke about? He did not avoid the urine. He did not prevent the urine from getting on himself when using the restroom or when cleaning up after using the restroom. And that was a very important reminder for the youth and for the kids. A lot of times, they use the restroom and they're not careful, and you find the urine gets on their clothes and on the floor and other places. So that was a good reminder for us. And one thing that we will start out with today, inshallah, before we go to the second person who was being punished in his grave, and it was for which reason? Because of spreading namima, which is similar, kind of like backbiting, but namima is adding on more facts to try to create ill feeling between people. So, first of all, the Prophet ﷺ, his words that are very interesting. He says, they are being punished for something that is not big, rather it is big. So here, that part of the hadith is very interesting. How can he say it's something that's not big, and then at the same time, say it's something that's big? And here what our scholars teach us is that whenever we find a hadith or a text that seems to have something that is contradictory, something is big, no it's not big. Two things, in some hadith it says Allah has forbidden all dead things, He has permitted two dead things, the locust and the fish. In another hadith He prohibited all types of blood, but He permitted two things that are from blood, the liver and the spleen, that are created from blood. So whenever we have some kind of contradiction that appears to us in the hadith, what we're taught, what we should do is submit to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is most wise. Allah is the Hakim. He has wisdom in what He legislates. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he taught us something, he taught us based on what Allah revealed to him. He didn't teach it from his own desires. So we don't make what Allah teaches and what the Prophet ﷺ teaches subservient to what our thinking is. We don't make it subservient to our intellects. Right? We have to make our intellects subservient to what Allah and His Messenger, they taught. And also, sometimes there's a differing viewpoint that might help us understand why something is mentioned in the hadith in a certain way, that it appears contradictory, but it might be based on someone's viewpoint. And a good example is we have two hadith. One says that the Prophet ﷺ, he entered the Kaaba and he prayed inside. And then another narrator, he narrated the same hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he entered the Kaaba but he did not pray inside the Kaaba. So somebody might look at these texts and they say, the critics of Islam, oh look at your own hadith, they contradict each other. He said he prayed, the other one narrator said no, he didn't pray. But actually, the answer is very easy to that. Does anybody know that the answer to why they contradict? Yes, Adam? He did pray? Okay. Okay, somebody saw it and somebody didn't see it? That's a possibility. No? He did both of them. That is actually... Yes, the hadith doesn't say it was the same day or what moment it was. One of the narrators, he saw him when he came, and when he first came back to Mecca, the Fath-i Mecca. At that time he entered the Kaaba, he didn't pray. The other narrator, He saw him enter the Kaaba when he gave his good farewell address to the Ummah. So he went inside and he did pray. So sometimes it's a differing of a time and place or a viewpoint. A difference of a viewpoint can make a difference in how we understand a hadith. And this is what we see in this narration, where he says they're being punished for something, it's not big. No, it's big. So what does he mean, it's not big? It is big. Here, we have to try to see the different viewpoints. The one viewpoint, it's not big, is from the viewpoint of us, from a human being. It's something so easy to clean the urine. It's something so easy to clean up. It doesn't take a lot of effort or a lot of action. It's not a big thing for us. Right? But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's something that is very big. It's something that is big in the sight of Allah. Why is it big in the sight of Allah? If you remember from last week, what happens if we don't have the tahara? What gets affected by that? Our salah. So our salah will get nullified, because tahara is a condition for the salah. And is salah big, important in the sight of Allah? Very, very important. So from the perspective of us human beings, it's not a big thing. Cleaning from the urine is a very easy action. But from the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's a big thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have another part of the hadith, which is that the second person in the grave, and this is very important for our young brothers to know, and all of us to know, the second person was being punished in his grave for something that people don't consider big, but it is big in the sight of Allah. What was that thing? They used to spread the namima, or he used to spread the namima. Namima in Arabic comes from yanmu, nama, which means to grow or to add to something. And basically what namima means, it means spreading gossip. Spreading gossip about people. They hear something and they add to it and they pass it on. This is why it means it's growing. So as the rumor spreads, it grows. And they do this with an ill intention. The ill intention is to spread hatred amongst people, to spread dislike amongst people. And unfortunately, many people, they cannot sit down, they don't feel like they had a good conversation unless they spread some rumors or talk about some gossip. It's something very common in many societies, but it causes so much harm in the relations between people. This spreading of rumors and gossip that people talk about, they say, did you see what this person said about you? He said this and this, and they add some spices to it, some curry you can say, and make it, and try to create some kind of, they find enjoyment in that, unfortunately. It's something very common, but it ruins the relationship between a husband and a wife, or two brothers in the same family, they might get ruined their relationship. Two friends, they might lose their friendship due to this type of namima. It will cause people to have dislike towards one another. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is big in the sight of Allah, and it's a cause of punishment in the grave. And that's a very serious thing. If there's a punishment in the grave, many of the ulama say this is a kaba'ir, one of the major, major sins in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this kind of backbiting or spreading gossip and rumors amongst people to spread ill feeling or ruin relationships or to destroy the connection between people, this is a major sin in the sight of Allah. There is one exception to the rule of the prohibition of namima, and that is when saying that those words and adding to them will bring some kind of benefit between people. Two people, they have an argument with each other. They're not talking to each other. So you go, and you go to the first person, you have a good intention in your heart, and you want to make up or help them get back together or rectify their friendship. So you say to the first person, you know that person who you're not talking to, he's really sad, sorry about what happened. He really wants to make up with you. If you go and talk to him, he'll be very happy. And so he's adding to the reality. That other person doesn't even know what he's saying. But is he doing namima? It's namima in the linguistic sense, but it's allowed. It's allowed because it's going to bring a benefit or reconciliation between people. So then he goes to the second guy and he says, you know what, the first person, he's so sad that you're not talking to him. And if he, and he really wants to come to you, and if he comes to you, you know, he'll, he would, you should be nice to him and accept what he has to say. And this kind of good namima is something praised by the Prophet ﷺ. And the reason is that some, oftentimes the shaitan, he puts in the person's heart the arrogance. He'll say, oh, if I go and try to make up with him, maybe he's going to reject me. Maybe he's going to be arrogant with me. So he tries to prevent the person from making up. So by doing that, by trying to put the good words in each of their ears, and neither of them know or said anything, you're actually helping them to reconcile. And that general benefit, this is a general benefit that is encouraged and is allowed. It's an exception to the rule. But normally speaking, if a person, they add and invent things, and then they spread that between two people, this is called namima, and it's a cause, it's a major sin. It's a big, big sin in the sight of Allah. It's a cause of punishment in the grave. And that's because it destroys the relationships in the society. And it ruins the good relationship that people have with one another. And Allah knows best. We have one. Any questions up to here? For this hadith? Okay, if you do, don't think of it now. We can save it to the end, inshallah. One other issue here that comes up that is very interesting and something that is very profound. The Prophet ﷺ, we were talking about these adab of cleanliness and using the restroom. One of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when you go to answer the call of nature, put your left foot on the ground, flat on the ground, and raise your right foot on the toes. In Arabic he said, أَنْتَقْعَدَ عَلَى الْيُسْرَ وَنَنْصِبَ الْيُمْنَ. This hadith was narrated by Suraqa ibn Malik. Suraqa, just to give you a little bit of background, very beautiful story about Suraqa ibn Malik. He was one of the people who was with the Prophet ﷺ in the battle of the trench, where the Muslims, they dug a trench around the city of Medina. And when the Prophet ﷺ was digging, some of the Sahaba, they had gotten so hungry, they tied a rock on their stomach because of the pain. And when the rock presses on the stomach thinks there's food inside, and then it reduces the pain. So they came to Rasulullah ﷺ and they said, look at us, we're tying rock on our stomach. The Prophet ﷺ lifted his own shirt. He had two rocks tied on his stomach. They were so hungry, they were poor, it was cold, they had nothing. And so they're digging in a trench, and Suraqa, he comes to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, he said, just now when I struck the rock, I saw the kingdoms of Rome and Persia coming to the believers. And he told Suraqa, you are going to wear the bracelets of the emperor of Persia. You're going to wear those beautiful bracelets. This is at a time when they were so poor they didn't even have a day to eat. He gave him that promise, and Suraqa later on in the time of Umar, he says and he narrates, indeed, I was with those Muslims who opened Persia, who had the victory in Persia, and I went to Umar and he gave me the bracelet to wear. So subhanAllah, you see the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ. Now here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said to us, to the Sahaba, I am like your father. I am a teacher to you. And he wanted to teach us the best of things that bring us benefit. This was out of his love for us and for the love of the Ummah. Even how to stand when using the restroom. So he said, put your left foot flat like when walking and raise the right foot to the tip of the toes. Now here in the Ummah they ask the question, what is the wisdom behind this particular posture when answering or when using the restroom, the traditional restroom that they have? Some of the ulama, they said, the reason is out of honor for the right foot. To raise the right foot and to leave the left foot down to honor it. This is a shape or a posture. But other ulama, they actually thought more deeply about it. And subhanAllah, they said that when you study the anatomy of a human being, what you find is that the way that the colon removes the impurities from the body, it comes from the left side. And by raising one side of the body, it compresses the intestine and the colon and causes it to remove easily and more health, and especially if someone has constipation, it will remove any impurities from the body. By sitting in that particular posture of raising one side and leaving the left foot flat, it will compress the intestine, and because the colon comes to the exit from the left side, it will cause the impurities to exit from the body, especially if the person has some kind of constipation in his stomach. SubhanAllah. And then the ulama, some of the recent ulama, they said, this is something very amazing. How does the Prophet ﷺ know about the internal quality or the internal creation of the human being? He couldn't see, he didn't know what was inside of the person's bowels. In another hadith, perhaps you know this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, every human being, every bone on his body has to be given sadaqah for it. And there's 360 bones in the human body. This is what he said. And subhanAllah, now the anatomists, they say that this is correct and accurate, that the number of bones in the human body is 360. And somebody in Europe, one of the explorers in Europe, he accepted Islam when he read the verse in Surah An-Nur about the ocean, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظُلُمَاتٌ فَوْقَ ظُلُمَاتٌ, darkness over darkness, layers of darkness, each one covering the other. This explorer, he went to the Black Sea, and when he dived in the ocean, he found, literally, you could find layers of darkness. You have a layer of light, a certain amount of light in the first layer, and then as you go deeper, you have darkness, darkness as you go down. And the waves, the more waves there are, the more darkness it causes underneath. So when he heard this verse, he said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never left Arabia. He never even went on a boat before, not to talk about diving into the ocean. How did he know that there's layers of darkness within the ocean? And he said, this must be wahi from Allah. This must be revelation from Allah, and therefore Islam must be the true religion, and Prophet Muhammad is the true prophet. He accepted Islam. And people who reflect, and we find many people in our society, many Christian people, and alhamdulillah, I just had a phone call today, or an email from somebody. He said, he's not a Muslim, he said, I feel like Islam is the truth. When they look and reflect on these ahadith, and especially some hadith like this that talk about the anatomy of the human being that nobody, even a specialist doctor at that time perhaps would not know, that it comes from the left side and compressing it would cause impurities to leave the body. When they reflect on these things, if they don't have preconceived notions, if they don't have some kind of what they call ta'assub, they have fanaticism for their religion or for their culture, if they're open-minded, we find many, many people entering Islam. When they reflect on these ayahs and these ahadith, many of them, they enter into Islam because of that. One last thing before we finish, inshaAllah ta'ala, is that the ruling here, or about standing on the left foot, or pressing the left foot down and raising the right side to lean on one side, somebody might say, what about that nowadays we have the regular toilets? We don't have the traditional toilet. Is this haram to use the toilet? Is it bid'ah? Because the Prophet ﷺ never used it. It's a good question. Is this a bid'ah? And what the ulama, they say, is that the toilet might be useful for many people. They might be too heavy. They can't sit in a traditional type of toilet. And it might be easier for those type of people to use that. And this hadith is not a hadith relating to worship. It's an advice, it's a teaching that the Prophet ﷺ is saying to us to help us in our worldly life. It's not an obligation or an act of worship. So it's not correct for somebody to say it's haram to use the toilet, especially for somebody who needs to, somebody who's sick. But if somebody has a traditional way and they do it and they follow the sunnah, then this is for their benefit, for their own benefit. So it's not a bid'ah to use the Western style of toilet. It's not haram. But a person can look at what is more easy for them and what is closer to purity for their body, inshaAllah ta'ala. And nobody should criticize the other. Somebody should not criticize people who need to use that regular toilet, and they shouldn't criticize people who want to use the traditional style of toilet, inshallah ta'ala. So these are some of the important lessons for us in this chapter, inshallah ta'ala. Importance of purifying from the urine and submitting to Allah's wisdom when we don't understand the perspectives of things, and also to stay away from namima and gossiping and backbiting, and also the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ in understanding or giving us advice that is for our own worldly benefit. And if we look at it with a sincere heart, and even non-Muslims, they will realize the miracle of Islam, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to give us the beneficial understanding of deen, inshallah ta'ala. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Any questions up to here, inshallah? Before you go? You can leave if you have to, if anybody would like to leave. The left foot goes flat, and the right foot should be on the toes, the tip of the toes. Raise the right foot like that. Inshallah. That's the advice of the Prophet. So when a person does that, they raise they turn to one side, and it presses the bowels, and the bowels actually come from the left side. It causes everything to go out, especially if they have constipation. This is what they found, the doctors they found. SubhanAllah. It does work. Okay. So we have witnessing.
SubhanAllah.
This is in Africa. You practiced, you applied the sunnah, and you found that it came true. It was really beneficial for your health. Then.
So what when I asked the sheikh what he told me, it facilitated. I know he never got it because he don't know anything about it. But he told me it facilitated the bowel movement.
SubhanAllah.
At times I said, I was kind of awkward, but when he told me like this, like first of what he said about the hikma. Then he used to sing a song for me, like, Tawheed, one of the Shia in Africa, he used to
say, Whenever the word is conflicting in your head, try to make Tawheed. If you cannot make Tawheed on it, then say Allahu Alam.
SubhanAllah.
Whatever it was. Very beautiful, brother. Beautiful story. Alhamdulillah. Sadaqa Rasulullah. He didn't speak from his own speech. He came from wahi, from Allah. He didn't know. How does he know the anatomy of the size of a person's body?
And I think, like, even so, at times when you use the restroom, these restrooms, where like you have like some difficulty in having the bowel movement, just press this one. Just put some press on this one. Sometimes it will work.
I see. Yeah, press down on the left side and raise the right foot a little bit. MashaAllah.
Well, I have like, it works for me, and I, like, in Africa,
MashaAllah. Allah reward you for that. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Rabbana taqabbal minna wa ma'a wa ala.